Welcome to the Digmann Fitness Podcast. Digmann Fitness is a place where families can become injury-free and have fun with functional exercise. We want to improve quality of life by preventing pain, reducing risk of injury, and improving function at work and at play. We promise to deliver the best tools necessary to help you restore your body and revitalize your life. Revitalize your life.
Revitalize your life. Welcome to this episode of the Everyday Strongman as we talk with Tim Stranley, the promoter of the Sentimai Viking Games that will take place on May 20th, 2017. In Stoughton, Wisconsin, just down the road here. I am also joined by member Shane Cicero as he preps for his first strongman contest.
Oh yeah.
Welcome guys. What's happening?
Living the dream. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think we'll start off welcoming you guys in on the show here. First start off by maybe talking with Tim on a few things on how and why you started, maybe start with when you first started strength training and how you got into strongman after that.
Sure. So as a high school athlete, I did a little bit of weightlifting, but it was mostly goofing around. And fast forward 10 years and I decided that I actually had seen a picture of my wedding. And I wasn't heavy. I just was not very defined. And so I said, I want to change this. So I start lifting and do some powerlifting contests and had a little bit of success with the deadlift and kind of tired on just going to a place and spending 5 hours there for 45 seconds worth of lifts. And so I was looking for something different that was, but still physical. And so seen a flyer for a local strongman contest and decided I was going to do it. I think that was 2006 or 2007. And I finished third to last place. Didn't have a clue what was going on. Didn't know how to handle the material, but it was really fun for me. So from there, I bought a punch card pass to a different gym and started going there and trying this stuff and kind of fell in love with the sport. And here we are today.
That's awesome. I kind of started that same way for me as far as the strongman world. I think it was 2007 was my first contest. I was 20 years old, you know, junior in college. I was in track and field. I competed, and I loved the sport. You know, powerlifting was kind of cool, too, to show gym strength. But then at the same time, I wanted to be outside. I wanted to do more than just sit and wait, you know,
right,
for hours on end before you competed. But, yeah, my first contest was up at Big Tony's, up at Big Tony Scrivens up in Appleton.
Yes. So good contest.
Yeah, 2007, I think that first one was. I was 20 years old, and I was kind of brought under the wing of Sam McMahon. He was in the crowd. It was like kind of an introduction, like, hey, there's a pro strongman in the crowd here for you guys today. And I went up to him and was like, hey, I need to learn this stuff. Because at that contest, the same thing as you, it was like, I didn't know what was going on. I practiced like the tire flips, the deadlifts, you know, the overhead pressing with a barbell. So like before that contest, I never touched a log or an Atlas stone. I went in there and a bear hugged it and picked it up. It felt so heavy. I think I lifted one stone. I forget what the weights were.
Sure.
But yeah, it was the same thing. And
it was 175. So 175 was the stone.
Now that's his warm up weight.
Yeah. It might have, you know, it was a pro am too. So it was like I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I got there and the guys were like, hey, have you done contests before? And I went into the open, you know, kind of thing.
That's where the big boys
lift. It's probably not a good idea. I was like, I didn't know all that stuff worked.
Right.
Wow. So it's crazy.
So really quick, since we're kind of talking about first time and kind of getting into the contest, you know, I know you're going to share with us a little bit more about the Stoughton Sentimai Strongman and Viking Games, but you've got actually sort of an interesting story. You shared with us the last time we connected on someone who was obviously a first timer and just decide to enter the games. I think it's such an interesting story.
Yes. So remember
tell
that.
Us about that and maybe how sometimes the first timers go.
Yeah. Well, and I'll probably keep the language PG. But so we're setting up for the Sentimai strongman. I think it was year one or year two. And a guy comes strolling up and he says, hey, what's going on around here? I said, well, we're having a strongman contest. He's like, well, what's that? And I said, it's different feats of strength to find out, who's the strongest guy. Have you seen World's Strongest Man on TV? You know, guys pulling around semis. And he's like, so you're doing that here? I said, well, it's modified some, but yeah, we're doing it here. He goes, well, I think I can kick your behind. So I want to sign up. How do I do it? So he paid the requisite, whatever it was at the time, the sign up fee, and joined us and made it through the first event and which was a log lift, and couldn't get the log lifted over his head. So he zeroed on that, which competitors do. I've been in contests where I've done that same thing. Mm-hmm. Truck pull was the next event, and he got the semi moving, and he moved it about 3 or 4 feet, and then he is done. And he took the harness off and yelled some explicitives and walked off the grounds and never came back. So
yeah,
didn't even collect his T-shirt for entering.
It's crazy. You see, people outside the gym, that see us. We're smaller guys, for the guys that they see on TV, and they're right. Like, hey, you guys can do that? Are you sure you can do that kind of stuff? But they don't realize, yeah, we're strong, but at the same time, it's a lot of technique too, which people don't realize right. That you put time into something, you can achieve, a lot of the
stuff. You know, and the thing, I think the thing that's kind of interesting about strength is that it's perception, right? Is, everybody thinks that the biggest, bulkiest guy is obviously the strongest. But, I mean, you think about just grip, right? How often, do you see the scrawny little guy that's, ripping off the pickle tops,
Yeah.
I mean, those things are murder to get open sometimes. And, and I always sort of reflected back to, thinking about, like, mechanics especially. I mean, those guys are, gripping wrenches and, in there, torquing on things, and those guys have got some very solid hand strength, and they're usually pretty lanky, little guys. So you'd never think that they'd have... that kind of arm strength or strength per se, but in all of us there's some solid strength. So the little guy can usually be pretty strong still.
I call that the man strength. My dad has that. I mean, you wouldn't see him deadlifting a lot of weight, but if he's got a gripping event, like his forearms and hands are so big, I mean, he's strong as he needs to be because he still works on a farm in our construction business. So it's like, it's crazy. Like I would arm wrestle him for the longest time in high school. I'd be lifting and doing more stuff than he would, but he would still kick my butt in arm wrestling. So you're just that natural, man, dad strength, that.
Yeah.
Yes. Old man strength is real.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's kind of dive into, talk to a little bit about your past training of how you got started. Maybe kind of dive into, Tim, what you do as far as your training in the gym, some of your strongman training that you do, some of your favorite lifts, favorite events, maybe some pain points.
Sure. So there's a lot of questions.
Sorry, we can go back into it. Yeah.
So I teach elementary school, maybe one at a time.
Yeah, there we go. But, yeah, there.
I actually trained just at my house, and my training partner, Joe Oakland, or at his house. And we bought a fitness place that went out of business in right around 2004, 2005. We walked up there, it was in a Craigslist ad, and we said, how much for everything? They're like, for real? I said, yes. We made them an offer that we thought was stupid low, and they said, take it away, you can get it out tonight.
Wow.
So we walked out of there with a lot of stuff, not strongman stuff, but bars and dumbbells and weight plates and such. And so a lot of our stuff started from there. And then as I got interested in strongman, I couldn't find a gym that had the stuff that I wanted to train with. So we decided to start making it ourselves. And we went to one of the tire places and said, do you have an old tire that you want to get rid of for free? And they said, yep, because they have to pay to get rid of them. So our first tire was a freebie. And I know a little bit about welding, so we started making our stuff. And a couple of the first things we made didn't last very long. And we've just been kind of...
Got better at welding then.
Better at welding. And then collecting, different stuff as we go to a contest and we see things, we kind of take pictures and go, how can we build this? How can we build this and train with it? And so from there, we've got to today. Some of the events I really like. My favorite event is probably the Atlas Stones, although that's not nearly my best event. It's just something really cool about picking up something that's round and just ridiculously heavy and having to grip it and then lift it to a point. I know that the truck pull is also one. I think that is a kind of a fan favorite because, the last couple of years where people can relate, that's a semi, and semis are heavy, and these guys are moving it with just their legs and their arms. That's pretty cool. As far as success goes, my best event has probably been some sort of a medley or like a super yoke and a farmer's walk. Got pretty strong hands and can move my feet quickly. Some of the bigger guys struggle with that, and I'm not a bigger guy, but I can still do okay with that. But for me, my big Achilles heel is for events is like overhead pressing. a lot of lift. Like it fine. I do okay, but that would be the next step for me to take. And then, of course, finding time to train.
Mm-hmm.
Life is busy, and I love training it, but other commitments too.
Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of the same way too, I think, with some of the events. As far as the favorites, I like the moving events, the tire. That's how I started when I trained. You have the stuff in the backyard at the farm.
Sure.
Behind the shed, and, you know, I'd bring people out, and they get a kick out of it and stuff and join in. But they would be like the tire flips and the yoke. And as I was showing you before, some of the equipment I have, yeah. Like, you know, Dad and I, you know, a lot of stuff we made ourselves, like you did, welding stuff together, throwing plyo boxes together with, you know, my cousin, he's a woodworker and stuff, my uncle. But yeah, just throwing at like the movement stuff I got good at. Then that's kind of how I make up ground on the events, I think, too, is because I'm not as strong of a deadlifter and like static event stuff. So I kind of hang with the bigger guys or the guys that are stronger my size, too.
Yeah. And one of the events I did, at the time I was probably 185 pounds and it was one weight class. And I said to the guy, gosh, I'm a little guy. Like, how about we you'll consider it? And he said, it's medicine's strongest man. It isn't medicine's strongest man who weighs 200 pounds. I said, yeah, but, you know, that kind of levels the playing field. And so I still did the event, and I got second place, actually. And I beat a bunch of guys that were 100 pounds more than me. And part of that was the tire flip, the farmer's walk. I could make up ground. So after the static lift, the log lift, I was kind of behind and a lot of guys to catch. But as the contest went on, I got to catch up because
cardio.
Cardio.
Yeah, that endurance that. Stepped in.
Right.
And I know us big guys are kind of slow and and I'll just lift a bunch of heavy stuff. I don't need to have to run stuff. But yeah, I mean, to chime in, I'd have to say that I think there's something really exciting about the, just like exactly like what you said, the truck pull, the tire flip, you know, because I think people see those. And, you know, just immediately think that thing is really heavy and that person is moving it and not necessarily realizing that there is technique that goes into it. And there is, you know, so with a little technique, you know, and a little thought behind it, you can actually kind of move these things, you know, and using some science, you know, some leverage. I mean, when we first started doing tire flip, I was, you know, pretty much just trying to get right up under it. And, you know, Corey showed, some better moves and actually, you know, putting your chest into it and actually getting some decent leverage, you know, to be able to lift it. And, you know, it's amazing at how, you know, I mean, it's a very good feeling to lift a 600 pound tire, and knowing that you just lifted 600 pounds, you know, so yeah, I think, you know, it feels cool because you get to then go say, so what'd you do this morning? Right. At 6 o'clock, yeah. I flipped a 600 pound tire. What'd you do?
And I flipped it 12 times.
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, and I was just getting out of bed, you know?
Yeah, that stuff is the stuff worth talking about, worth training for, you know?
Right.
It's like the CrossFitters can kind of vouch for that too, because it's just exciting to do a series of exercises for time or for reps rather than just going to the gym and say, hey, I want to lose 5 pounds. I mean, you get there, yeah, what else do you do then after that?
Right.
And you
right.
get to strive for, you know, a race or an event, a contest. It's fun.
So let me ask you, I guess, where I'm kind of curious where the story goes from, you know, so you've got, first of all, was there an interest of like starting a gym, or was it just that you saw the Craigslist and were like, we should get this stuff?
Well, you know, so I was a member at a gym in Stoughton, and I just, the hours, and this is before there was 24-hour entries for places, and the hours were limited, and it was just, I wanted to do stuff they didn't have. And
gotcha.
I never have strived to own a gym. In fact, like working out with me, I just do it for fun, and I love having people come over and work out with me with my stuff just because it's fun to me.
Yeah.
So, and I guess I like collecting stuff maybe a little bit. I don't know. My wife is not crazy about having all this stuff in our backyard. But
I was maybe going to ask about that too.
How do you explain the second log that showed up in the garage?
Right. And so when I acquire new stuff, she'll be like, where are you going to put this stuff now? This is not okay. But
she's like, you're going to have to get rid of that motorcycle now.
Right.
No.
No.
Like, no, honey, I just built another shed.
Yes.
I have to say that was probably one of the most impressive things, coming over to your house and checking out the Conan's wheel. But just seeing you, I mean, it literally felt like you were rolling out the circus for us. I mean, you know, it was like stone one, stone two, you know, and then all of a sudden it's tire and then it's, you know, milk jugs. And then I'm like, and then Corey's like, oh yeah, no, he stores like all of the stuff for Strongman, for the Viking Games in his shed in his garage. I'm like, that is unbelievable. Like, that is impressive.
Cool. Well, and one of the reasons why I've done that is to be fair to the competitors. One, I want to have, if I have multiple things, I want it to be the exact same, so the tires are a matching set. And if I'm borrowing from a gym, I feel like that gym or those members are getting kind of an unfair advantage to be able to continually use their stuff. And in this way, everyone's welcome to come try it, but it kind of stays there, and which is another reason why I don't compete in the Viking Games anymore. The first couple of years, I did it as kind of an exhibition, but as it's grown, I've realized that it's best for me just to make sure it keeps running smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that's actually pretty awesome just to know that you can stop over and try that stuff out. And but I could also see where, you know, obviously somebody that's competing, if you're doing well, then they're like, well, you've been training on this all winter.
Right.
So that's all right. So we're in that zone of you've got the stuff, you're kind of exploring this, you've been doing contests, and then so where does the attachment to Setnamai and Viking Games come into play?
Yeah. Sure.
How'd that marriage happen?
Well, so I had been competing and gaining success and suddenly having some success, had won some events, top three in some events, and some pretty big contests, and I always thought there's nothing in my backyard. There's no strongman contest in Stoughton. And so I went down to the Chamber of Commerce and said, hey, I think we should do a strongman contest during our community celebration. They said, what's that? I said, well, have you ever seen the guys on TV and like pulling semis and picking up? And they said, yeah, that's so cool. And I said, you know, there's been a couple Norwegians that have won that, you know. And so they said, well, how can we do this?
Perfect fit.
So yeah, I really thought, and so Setnamai stands for the 17th of May, and it's Norwegian's independence celebration, so much like our 4th of July, and the community of Stoughton has the second biggest Setnamai celebration in the world behind Oslo, Norway, and so
I knew that,
and as a
Jay would also know that too.
There we go. As a full blooded Norwegian and a long time Stoughtonite, I thought this would be a cool thing to do. We could bring big crowds to our event and give something else for Stoughtonites to come and see during the festival. So that's kind of how it started, was with that. And the city and the chamber really supported what we wanted to do. And so 4 or 5 years later, here we are.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting event, too. I look forward to it every year. I think it'll be the fourth year or third year, I believe I've been competing in it, too.
Yeah.
So it's just a fun atmosphere. You can hang out. Mm-hmm. Before or after the show, you got a parade that goes on in the morning, right? And
yes.
And music, polka music, and
yeah, you
know, and cream puffs. There's cream puffs down there.
Yeah, chocolates. it starts with a canoe race on Friday night, and lots of street vendors and a street dance on Friday night, and then on Saturday it moves into a parade, and there's three different runs of different lengths, kind of a 2 mile fun run and a 10K, and then actually a 20 mile run, which isn't a marathon, but it's pretty dang far. I don't know, 20 miles is a long way to go. And then bands going throughout the day. And so really it's for people who are from Stoughton, it's a big deal. People come back and visit the community from, you know, they moved away. And
I think for a long time too, my mom, the only reason I knew about that before the Viking Games was my mom used to do the 17 mile walk. Madison, right. Stoughton.
Yeah, yeah.
Sent to my, I was like, it was always that weird. She said, I think she still has the T-shirts, but I was like, what is that? I mean, like, and then after like moving up here, getting the gym going, training, and then like hearing about what you had going on, I'm like, oh yeah, I know, you know, knew some about what went on. So I was like, it's really cool. You get a really, you know, big fan base and stuff. A lot of people run around. And,
yeah. Last year the weather wasn't great, but we still had crowds of between 500 and 1,000 people at peak times. So a lot of people watching and super supportive environment, I would say.
Oh yeah. Great first timer for Shane now too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm, you know, even just I guess the ones that I've been to, I've been kind of impressed by the the actual audience engagement and how much they rally. Like, I mean, if somebody's starting to struggle on the lift, I mean, everybody just starts cheering.
And yeah,
you know, so I think that's really cool to know that I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody is, like, you know, looking to be like, oh, that jerk, I want that guy to lose or anything like that. I mean, which is cool because, I mean, being in that, I mean, you're in front of a bunch of people, you're competing and you're, you know, putting yourself through a lot. And, you know, so I could see how it'd be nerve-wracking if, you know, you were getting heckled a bit or something.
Right. And there is really a camaraderie amongst, like, the strongman community, because I think that they know it's a select number of people who will go through this. And I've been at events where I've had equipment break and people have said, here, use mine. And I've given stuff to other people and have told, like, guys, hey, you know, rock climbing shoes are really sweet for the truck pull. And,
yeah.
You know, you learn that stuff from other people, and that's one of the cool things that makes this. It's not cutthroat, I would say.
Yeah.
And you're still competing to win.
But. Yeah, and most of the guys end up training together when they compete,
right,
too. It's just like, it's like a team.
It's a fraternity. You know?
Well, and I think there's also a little bit of humility in that, too, right? I mean, you're not really, yes, you're competing, but you're not on
it's not a
the,
career. It's
yeah,
not for
you know, most people, it's like, you know what, Monday morning, I'm going to be back behind my, you know, desk doing my accounting and, you know, or at back at the general store, you know, selling whatever in the community. And, you know, it's just kind of a fun opportunity to get out. And, you know, obviously there's an opportunity to go somewhere with it because, you know, it is a U.S. strongman sanctioned event. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I love that there's that camaraderie, that people are really willing to help each other out. And that's what I was impressed with at the first one that I went to, was just seeing, I'm like, wait, these guys are competing against each other, but they're like, oh, here, use my gloves, or yeah, exactly like what you said. Like, here, you know what? What size are you? Can here? I'm a size 11. Here, use my boots, quick. You know, you're gonna need the boots. You know, so yeah, that's really cool. But so then, you know, maybe what is that tie-in to the strongman? I mean, have people gone on to like compete nationally? How does
maybe talk about maybe talk about the sanction and how that stuff works out.
So yeah, so our first year we were an unsanctioned contest. I wanted to see how it'd go. I've been involved in lots of things, but I had never run a strongman contest before. So but after it went really pretty well, we decided, like, what's the next step for us? And we thought, let's get it sanctioned by an organization that's what they do. And so we looked at, there was two different ones, and we looked, kind of researched both of them and decided that United States Strongman was a really strong organization. So we are a qualifier for the national contest. In fact, Corey, you've qualified for the national contest because of that. So pretty cool. And we've had people from our contest go on and compete in the national contest. So makes
me
feel good.
The competition's there, yeah. It's, so you get some people that are drawn in, yeah. So you're going to get some good stuff going. For sure.
So how is that, I guess, how has it grown? Like, I mean, is it grown every single year? And I mean, what are we looking at? I guess, what are we looking at for competitors? I mean, maybe that's the, you know, do we have a lot of people entered for the competition so far?
Well, that's a good question. And the first year, we had 15 people, I think, signed up.
Okay.
And I thought, and I just was hoping that someone would sign up, right? Because you go through all this stuff and then if no one signs up, that'd be a bummer. And then we doubled we went to about 30 people the next year, and we've grown each year. And this year, for the first time, we've talked about maybe putting a cap on the list.
Gotcha.
Because you know, it is still a couple of guys and their own stuff running a community festival under a certain time window. And like last year, we grew really fast, and we had lots and lots of people signed up, and the contest ran longer than we wanted it to, in part because the weather wasn't great and in part because there's so many people. So we've added more equipment, streamlined the events. So what we're looking at, I mean, over 60 competitors this year, I think. I have not gotten
my entry fee in here.
An updated list. Yeah, I didn't see Corey Digman on the list.
Can I just hand that over to you?
It's almost like a thing where, like, it's like school. You wait till the last minute to hand in your homework. It's kind of like an you know, thing too. Like, if you, I never should think this way, but like, just in case something bad happens where you get injured, you don't want to.
That is one of the things is people wait, and then people also wait for the weather. So late May last year, what was it? 40 degrees.
Oh yeah,
it was terrible. And but 2 years ago, it was 75 degrees and sunny. So I think people look ahead, and if they're looking at 90% rain, they go, I don't want to do this stuff in the rain.
So it's rain or shine.
Well,
it goes on?
It is, but we kind of reserve the right to modify events just for safety.
Gotcha.
In the rain.
Moving and tire flipping probably is a little bit different.
Right.
You get tire flipping on a wet blacktop surface and it gets pretty slick. And I just would hate to do something and have someone injured. So we would modify the events or look at getting a giant tent.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I've been actually, you know, the first contest I did, I talked about the one up in New London was the city that the big Tony Scrivens strawman. I forget the name of the contest, but it actually rained. So we lucked out for most of the contest up until the stones, but then somebody, they had a tarp or a tent. We're all out underneath the tent, so it really didn't make a difference. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you come prepared, people bring stuff, and everybody that's involved, you're gonna be prepared.
If you do this long enough, you're going to run into rain. I've done several contests where they've had to modify it or cancel it or else say, this is what we're going to do, go at your own risk.
Right.
And I still go to work the next day doing a job other than strongman, so.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
Back to work, teach.
Right.
Yeah, so I think with what we wanted to cover for the most part about talking about how you started with strongman, you know, talking in with Shane and some of his training and my training, the background, and the scent of my games, I think there's anything else that we need to point out. Maybe we can...
When is it?
Yeah. Oh, maybe the date. Hey, yeah, let's talk about the date again.
So,
once again, Scent of Mai stands for the 17th of May. So our community celebration is always the weekend closest to May 17th without being Mother's Day. So they look at those things. So this year, our contest is May 20th. We start about 2:15, and we go until we're done, probably a four-hour show or so.
Let's run through that, too, just so everybody knows. Like, so what are the contests? And what, I guess, if people want to end up entering, what they'd be competing in, and then two, for everybody that's maybe interested in just coming and being a spectator, because I know I've been talking about it, and every time I start running through what the medleys are and what the events are, I mean, people just start shaking their heads and like, are you sure you want to do that? So I think it's really cool. So I think it's really cool that like you've got these events. So I think you should share what those events are.
Sure. And one of the cool things about strongman is that if you do like, say five different events, it generally tests both strength and stamina and different types of strength. And it gives a chance for different people to be successful at different things. So our five events this year, and this is not necessarily the order we're going to do them in, but one of them is kind of a static medley of overhead lifts to start with a circus dumbbell. It's a big oversized dumbbell, and you have to press that one time with control. And then an axle press, so you have what looks like a car axle, tires on each side. Overhead press that, gain control, and then onto a steel log that you do for reps over your head. So that is an event that gets your blood pumping and you're feeling tired afterwards.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I always feel better after the first event because I feel like, all right, I got something done and I didn't like drop it on my head.
Get through the nerves.
Yes.
Nervousness, right?
Unless you were the log guy.
Yes. And then we have the truck pull, which is depending on which class you're in. So we have different classes for men and women. And if you've done this before or not, and by weight, the men pull a semi, and ladies pull a big pickup truck that's used for like truck pulls, so kind of a beefy, heavy truck.
Big old diesel.
And we have sanctioned harnesses, and they have them tested every year to make sure they won't break. That would be my worst fear if it broke halfway through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And both the harnesses passed again. So, and then we have what I think is a quintessential event is the Atlas Stone, so concrete balls. That for some of our teens and beginners classes start at like 80 pounds, and for the guys like Corey, go up to 300 pounds. So
that's heavy.
That is heavy.
That's very heavy.
One of the things that people allow in some contests is tacky. We have stayed away from that. It's a functional lift. I just think it's that is not something that would be out in the wild if you're picking up a heavy rock.
The classic strongman lift back. Yeah. I think we talked about that story.
You were in Scotland having to pick up your stone up onto the wall, you know, as your grandfather sent you out to do to become a man.
If you're picking rocks in a farm, on a field, and you're moving big heavy ones, that's the Atlas Stones. Mm-hmm. So our fourth event, and by the way, so usually we do those to like a platform of between 36 and 40 inches. So plenty high enough. Fourth event is kind of a little bit of a medley. It is tire flip for a distance of 60 feet. And then also picking up some kegs and carrying them 20 feet for one and 40 feet for the other, and depending on which class you're in, the kegs get heavier or lighter. And then, I'm thinking of our fifth event. Oh, the fifth event is a Conan's Wheel.
Yep.
Which
that's brutal.
It is a brutal event, and I love it.
Was that a torture device? Like, I mean, is that historically some sort of punishment or torture?
It was actually used to. So, at least the story I read, and I can't remember where I heard it. So perhaps this is urban legend, or perhaps it's real. Slaves used to have to turn a wheel to like grind wheat, and it was made famous. It's called Conan's Wheel from the movie Conan the Barbarian, and he was a slave that was moving that thing around. So it's kind of based on that.
Okay.
Brutally hard. It not only takes strength and balance and stamina, but then just mental toughness, because it pushes on your lungs, makes it hard to breathe, and it's heavy. I mean, you're carrying around 500 pounds is not an easy task.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a tough and fun event. You know, last year I came in to the contest. You know, I did strongman contests for almost 10 years at that point last year, and that's the one event that I never did, even in like training or any time. And I went in the contest and did it, and it was brutal. A lot harder than I would imagine.
It is.
So does this mean that you pretty much just like research new events to come up, or are you kind of looking somewhere first before? Because I know that there's a lot of different events, right? And I think you've got a great selection of events that test the overall strength and endurance of people. But, you know, if you've seen Strongman, you know, there's other, you know, contests that are out there. Like, I mean, you mentioned carrying a keg, but I mean, I know I've seen some where you're tossing a keg up in the air and trying to throw it as far as possible kind of thing. So, I mean, is this a contest that you've seen before, or was it just sort of like, hey, I think we can get this in, and does a great job of testing that endurance?
So a little bit of both. I wanted to try to have different events that balance and reward people for different types of strength. So that's one of the big things. And then the other thing is making sure I have equipment that will be both suitable for an event and will hold up. And we've actually changed over the years. We've had some different events. We had like a deadlift. We had some tires and last person standing deadlift. Well, and so I've seen like the fickle fingers, where you pick up a really long telephone pole. And part of that is we have to make sure that things are safe. So this big fear of if you had like the kegs and you threw them up over a certain height. One, we don't have a big sand pit to use.
Enough space, right?
And then two, like, there's a liability that if you didn't get out of the way and that came down, what goes up must come down, and I wouldn't want somebody to hit on
it. It's going to, yeah.
Right.
Jeez, yeah.
There's some science behind that.
Right. So, and part of it is I like to dream, and I, you know, you watch the things on TV and you go to other contests and go, that was really cool. I want to do that. I want to see if I can make that happen at our event. Mm-hmm. So does
the chamber pretty much just stay out of your way and let you run it, or do they kind of get to come through and say, we don't think this would be good because it is a kind of put on by the city?
Well, they have done a great job of pretty much letting me do my thing. They've had a little bit of like, well, if we they've helped with some of the financial stuff. I've secured sponsorships over the years so that we're a nonprofit deal. We don't make any money on this at all. And anything we do make, we would turn over to the festival.
Right.
And now that we've got it going, they realize that, wow, there is both an interest in competitors and in spectators. They've helped logistically some of that stuff because, you know, I have a full-time job and do other things. But they pretty much stay out of as far as the actual competition goes.
They trust you enough to put on a great contest.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's part of the education, too. Let them know, like, what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. So they trust you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, that's awesome. So, I mean, I know you mentioned, do you need volunteers, or do you, I mean, have people that, you know, to help out? I mean, you said it was nonprofit, so.
Right. So, yeah, and our volunteers are truly volunteers. We pay them in a T-shirt that they get to wear the day of the event that identifies them as a volunteer. And like I like to say, smiles and hugs. So the competitors are always very gracious and understanding. And so, gosh, I never turned down volunteers because it's a big event. Mm-hmm. However, we have a really big staff. We've got all of our judges are former competitors of the event, and the rest of the volunteers have helped before too, so they know what to expect.
Perfect.
That's great.
Well, there you go. So if people want to, so it's March or May 20th, Setnamai weekend in Stoughton. And then if people want to learn more, where can they go to find all the details and register?
So I don't have a website, if you're on Facebook, which I think most of the people over 50 in the world are, we have a Facebook page. I think it's Viking Games Setnamai Strongman. So if you search that on Facebook, it comes up. It has all the information on there. Otherwise, get in touch with Corey. He's got the information also.
That's right. So he's got copies of the form.
Got it right in front of me right
here. He
hasn't
filled it out, but so he's got the form.
Yeah, so $5 entry free for spectators, right?
It's actually, I think it's, I don't know the cost of the button. So this year, for the first time, for the second time really, there will be an entry fee, but it's a button that gets you into anything during the festival.
Oh, cool.
So if you wanted to go to the craft fair, if you wanted to go to the quilt show, if you wanted to go to the Corey, I know you're big into quilting. If you want to go to the
very nice,
basket weaving.
Very nice.
So there's all kinds of things that go on the Norwegian dancers' performance. If you want to go to those things, this one button will get you in there, and including our event.
That's a good idea.
Okay, and they probably have more information on that on the Chamber of Commerce.
They do. This is a big deal.
So for spectator. For spectating, we will make sure we get that link posted in this, so that way people can go and get their buttons.
Well, and the buttons are sold there right at the event. We do have a bleachers we've rented out for people to come and so there's watch. A good place to sit. Bring your blankets.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm excited about it. I have my registration.
Get it sent in.
In the mail.
I have mine filled out. I'm just going to send it in too.
Mine is filled out, check included, and just waiting to put a stamp on it. The missus had the stamps.
Nice.
I blame her for it not being in.
And then just one thing on the location that might kind of help too for people.
Yes.
Parking lot on southwest corner of Jefferson and Water Streets. So is that right off Main Street? Or?
It is one block off Main Street.
Okay.
For Stoughtonites, it's the old St. Vincent de Paul building. But for the rest of the folks, it's literally one block off Main Street. And I will tell you, if you come on that weekend, it is our community festival, so there are a lot of people around.
Mm-hmm.
Parking's not great, but it's there.
It's a lot of fun, though.
It is fun.
Even if you just come, kind of hang out downtown, get involved in like what's going on around town, and then just swing by and see some strongmen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
All right, thanks guys for joining in on the Everyday Strongman podcast as we talked about. The Setnamai Strongman Games that are coming up in May, and as well as really cool, interesting facts about how we got started with strength training and strongman and everything in between.
Well, thanks for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
We're shaking hands, and right now you guys don't see that, but we're hearing it.
I don't know if you can hear that, but I shook his hand right now.